Yogi Berra, that great source of aphorisms, he once said in giving directions to his home, or at least he's attributed as saying, when you get to the fork in the road, take it. That's kind of helpful, but with a little bit more meaning, John Bailey, who was a British theologian, he once said, I'm sure that the bit of road that needs illumination the most is the point where it forks. And isn't that true? When we get to those forks, those decision points, when we wonder, what do I do here? It's then that we need that bright light on the road, on the path, and not just on a path, but on the right path, to choose that right path to follow. We could use a voice whispering in our ear, go this way, take that path. We could use the voice of God speaking up with real clarity, or a hand on our shoulder turning us, saying, go this way, this is my will for you. But so often, it's not quite that clear. It would be really helpful if, in our relationship with God, if it was like that that app for iPhones and iPads called Siri, where you can just hit the app and speak into it, and a moment later, Siri's voice comes up along with a text on the screen. Where are the nearby restaurants? Well, they're here. But that's not the way it is with God. And if it was that way with God, we'd have a very sense of who He is. And our relationship with Him would maybe be merely practical. Help me out here. Give me directions for this. Instead, what we have is a relationship of trust to grow into. A call from God to us to follow. Even when it's hard to discern, trusting in ways that we don't always understand and through things that we don't always get, that God is in fact leading us deeper and further into life with Him and who He desires us to be. And our role is to trust and to follow, to grow into this from a position of informed and living faith. And that's critical here. Informed and living faith. We heard this story a few minutes ago about Abram, later called Abraham, and the radical call of God that God placed on his life. By everything we know in Scripture, it was an audible voice in the ear type of call, with God telling Abram, leave your country, your family, your father's home, leave everything and go to the land that I will show you. And in verse 4 of the text, we read that he did just that. Abram left. Abram left as the Lord told him. And he and Sarah and his nephew Lot and their family and the gathered people who were attached to their family, they left. And retelling the story generations later, the author of Hebrews in chapter 11, he describes it this way. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. He obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. He was just going, but out of an informed and living faith, even though he didn't know to where. We don't know much about Abraham before this, but it's obvious that he knew God and that God knew him. And that God knew Abram's heart and his alertness and faith. And we know that cumulatively, his life and his actions cut so close to God's will that a number of times in Scripture, Abraham is called a friend of God. The only person in Scripture distinctly called that, a friend of God. With the call of Abram in the background, I want to ask you, what is a call? What is this thing called a call of God? Sometimes I think in the context of faith, we can use the term call in a sort of Christianese, like, well, everybody knows what we're talking about. God called me. But what is it? And how does this work? Is God's call on our lives an audible voice in the ear type of call where we hear His voice? Or we sense a hand on our shoulder or a hand being clutched to turn this way, to go that way? Sometimes, yes. For some people, absolutely yes. But what about for the rest? What if we've never audibly heard God's voice in our ears? What if we've never literally, powerfully felt our shoulder being turned, our hand being taken? Are we still being called by God? Are we still in that kind of relationship? Absolutely, yes. Because God moves in ways that are way, way beyond the audible and the physical. Using His Word, meeting us in prayer, interrupting us in the minutiae of everyday life, and moving through the accumulation of things in our lives, a gradual building up of our awareness and alertness that He really is with us day by day, moment by moment, and He really is guiding us. And in being with us, guiding us, as the God who calls us, who calls His people, there is always more to come. There's always more to grow into. There is always more to trust Him with. There are always more growing edges that require of us the very things required of Abraham. Obedience and trust coming out of an informed and living faith. An author who's written a fair amount about this very thing of discerning God's call, he describes needing to come to what are called listening points. Listening points. He writes that a listening point is when we have a vague sense that what we have been is not all that it was in us to be. What we have been is not all that was in us to be. We're unsettled. Not necessarily upset, maybe not in crisis, but we know that there's something deeper and different out there. That there's a hard-to-pinpoint yearning in us for something different. Something more. Not more for us, but more from us for God. An untapped gift yet to be used, a still uncovered opportunity to serve Him, some use of our life that we have not yet stepped into. And that's that unsettled sense of we have not been all that it was in us to be. In that unsettledness, there are a number of biblically modeled ways for us to listen to God's call, His call coming to us that keep us informed and growing in our living faith. I'll briefly name four. One is we go to God's Word. We go to His Word. Not just to study, but to listen. To be with God in His Word, because His Word is living and active, and His Word is intimately harmonized with His will. His Word is His will. His will for this world, His will for each one of us individually. And so we have a passage like this one from Isaiah 55, one of many that I could draw from. But Isaiah 55, God said, "The word that goes forth from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." My word will not return to me empty. As people seeking His will and seeking to discern His call in our lives, we need to listen for the voice of God in His Word, living and active. Secondly, we go to prayer. Not just to go to prayer to work down a prayer list. Not just to go to prayer to tell God what we need, but rather to go into prayer and open the deepest parts of who we are before Him who made us and the One who desires everything for us in His will. And simply being present to God in prayer, listening. I love the way that Eugene Peterson writes about prayer. He writes, "God has the first word, always. Our prayers are simply answering speech. Not primarily address, but response. When we pray, we are responding to what God is already doing, how the Holy Spirit is already at work, preparing us, pulling us in. Preparing us for what's ahead. And so we come to prayer. We respond to God through prayer. Like Samuel did. Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. So we go to God's Word and we pray. And we also worship like this. We invest our time and our minds and our hearts praising God in learning, in being stretched. In doing this with an acute attentiveness that it's God who has drawn us here today. It's His Holy Spirit who is at work among us today. And that He has more to do with us, more to reveal for us, more up ahead for us than we've known thus far, and more than we can ever ask or imagine. We worship. And we do this with others. We do this with others who are called the body of Christ. The body of Christ that's been called into worship and whose role is to help to fan into flame the gifts of God that have been given. The body of Christ that's urged to encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. Continue to encourage each other, to spur each other on to love and good works. So we worship, we pray, we go to God's Word. And we keep on living through the ordinary things of day-to-day life. Cleaning up the kitchen, putting the kids to bed, getting homework done, paying bills, and so on. Because we know through God's promises that He is with us even in the smallest of details in our lives. And even these smallest details are His to be used. We don't need to be sequestered off in a monastery to discern the call of God. It can happen in the everyday things. It does happen in the everyday things of life. And at points when it might seem very unlikely, like these. Moses. He was simply taking care of his father-in-law's sheep when he was encountered by God for this impossible task of freeing the people of Israel from slavery. Hannah, Samuel's mother. She heard God's call in her life when she was praying in unrelenting anguish about lacking a child, so much so that a priest accused her of being drunk because she was praying so loudly. And soon after that, she conceived Samuel, one of God's greatest prophets. Mary Magdalene. Jesus met her when she was besieged by the presence of demons. And she was set free and put onto an entirely new path in life. The prodigal son. In one of Jesus' parables, the prodigal son, he sensed his life being redirected when he was in the deepest of depths. A total mess, totally ruined relationships, and he felt drawn to go back to his father. And then Nicodemus, whose story we heard just a few minutes ago. He came to Jesus as an academic, as a Pharisee who had fine-tuned knowledge of all of God's law, and as a Sadducee, a person of great power and prestige. But he came with questions. Questions about what he'd heard from Jesus, maybe coming with what I mentioned earlier, that vague sense that his life was not all that it was in him to be. And at the end of John's Gospel, there's Nicodemus helping to carry Jesus' body to the tomb. Coming full circle back to Abraham, and then to close. Abraham and his family were displaced. They were living as total strangers in a totally strange land, totally uprooted. And the call of God came to him. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. All people on earth will be blessed through you. As Paul later described it in Romans 4, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and became the father of many nations, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Fully persuaded. The last thing I want to do in talking about the call of God is to make it sound formulaic. As if we can do steps 1, 2, 3, and voila, we have the call of God. Because it's not formulaic at all. But it's also not just guesswork. It's not just, well, let's wait and see. There are things given to us to grow our alertness. Things to grow our response. We have the power and the living nature of God's Word given to us to know and to grow into. We have the amazing invitation to come before Him in prayer and in worship. And we have the promise that He knows us and He knows the details of our lives and works within all of it, inviting us to keep stepping forward in faith, even when we mess up. And so my prayer today for all of us is that not one of us will go stagnant, thinking, well, I've gotten to a good enough point. Or that we've got God all figured out. Or that there are no more surprises, no more wonder up ahead. Nothing could be further from the truth. I also want to pray that any of you who might be sensing a kind of unsettledness, like what I was talking about earlier, a vague sense that your life right now is not all that it could be for God, that it's not leaning into all that God has for you, that you will listen that you will listen to him in his word, in worship, in prayer, and that you will right now this morning invite God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, according to his will, to release you from whatever might be holding you back, whatever is keeping the brakes on, whatever sins there are that are like a barrier between you and the life God wants for you, and to remove whatever that is and set you on this new path. And may it be for us as it was for Abraham, that we'll be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised. Let's pray. God, we do pray that you would move among us in ways that we don't even expect. As Father, as Son, as Holy Spirit, that you would open up your word in new and fresh ways, that our prayers would be enlivened by your Holy Spirit, that as we worship, it would be knowing we are in your midst, and that your call upon us would be growing, and that our lives would be responding. And so we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.